Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh.
Hello Fresh.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me, as always, is that my co-host, Nick Mason, I spy?
No.
From across the yonder?
No, he quit.
He quit?
Yeah, he quit.
Thank
yeah.
goodness, because yeah. what a dog.
I agree. I'm his identical twin brother. And
his name is also Nick Mason.
Correct, yes. Very uncreative parents.
Have you heard the show before?
No, never. I'm just going to wing it, though.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in addition to our names, our personalities are basically interchangeable.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So there's nothing else I need to know about this?
No, not
Do
really.
I need to address this again?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody needs to address it again.
What happened to original Nick Mason?
Who knows? I don't care. I don't catch up with him.
Okay.
We're estranged
yep.
for undisclosed reasons.
Okay, fair yeah. enough.
In fact, I can't even remember what they are. It's just a coincidence.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. That's really
great. I mean, it's, you know, it's so unlikely to be almost inconceivable that he would happen to leave.
Yeah. As you would happen to show up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
To a show you don't know.
I've never, no. I just happen to be wandering through the neighborhood.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent.
I think we'll get on, though.
No, I think it'll be fine. Yeah, yeah, I think
yeah.
it'll be.
Yeah. Probably even better, actually.
Yeah. All the same.
Oh, maybe almost exactly the same.
Yeah. yeah. Great. Anyways, the news of the week, new Nick Mason.
Yeah, great.
We've got some Morpheus news. Morpheus news, which no doubt you're excited for.
Not Morbius news.
Sorry. yep.
Okay, right.
Yep. I thought you were doing a bit.
I'm not doing a bit.
Like no. new Nick Mason hadn't heard of the movie Morpheus.
No, I've heard of the movie Morbius and I've heard of the character Morpheus.
yes.
Both the character from the Matrix series and yep. the name of one of the names of the character from The Sandman. So yep. my pop culture knowledge is probably at least on par with other Nick Mason.
That's terrific news.
Yeah.
Right.
And at some point I'll stop mentioning this other Nick Mason.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got some big DC shakeups that could very well happen. We've got this further, you know, the Discovery buyout, which you already know about,
yeah,
no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got some news of the Hunger Games prequel.
Whoa.
It's moving forward. How'd they get all those weird high collar shirts that they wear or whatever.
Where'd they get them?
Where'd they get them?
Is that guy use a guide on his beard?
He must.
Is some sort of mask thing he puts on his beard and then he shaves
I think he'd
it?
Have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard work. Also, a District 10 update.
Oh, very, very District heavy news this week.
I believe so. And then, of course, we're going to talk, not of course, Deadpool 3 news. And then we're going to talk about The Boys episodes 1 to 3.
Of season 3.
That's right. That's very good. We've also got
it's not that good. I'm just pointing out a mere fact.
No, I think it's important to distinguish that we're not talking about the very first three episodes of
oh, yeah.
The Boys.
Mm, good point.
But in addition to that, Mason, we've already done an Obi-Wan recap, haven't we?
That's right. That's probably on the YouTube
it
right
is.
Now.
It is. It's ready to go now. Collings wow. has edited that together where we talk about the first three episodes. Not really recaps. It's kind of our thoughts about the first three
yeah.
and where we're at with it.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, and a little side note, happy Pride Month.
Thank you.
June. For all our LGBTQIA+ mates who celebrate,
mm-hmm.
a bit of well-wishing from the two blandest men you'll ever meet.
We support you.
That's right. For whatever that is worth,
yeah.
which is nothing. But yeah. here we are. Thanks everybody, for listening.
And like all corporations, minor or major,
yes,
we support you.
That's correct.
And we're going to change the banner to nothing.
Are we going to do that?
No. But I love that. We'll talk about it a bit in The Boys where it's a corporation that does horrible things, but then it's just like, happy Pride Month. And it's like, you're a, You build missiles.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This month, James, we are partnering with missiles.
I just want to clarify, yeah, I guess we don't build missiles, so that's good,
true,
isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, that's really great, yeah. Anyways, it's Morbin time, everyone.
Sure is.
You know, it's, yeah, okay, so.
To be clear, we haven't vetoed Morbius, but the Morbius memes keep going. I like to think that we had some contribution. We
talked about it briefly.
Well, sure,
didn't we?
We did. We moved the needle.
Yeah.
To some degree, yes.
So it's Morbin time has been trending like it was last week. So Sony took that as a as an excuse to reissue Morbius into 1,037 theaters over the weekend, right? Thinking we're going to cash in on this Morbius goodwill. But of course,
all these memes must be genuine. And
missing the joke
that
people are doing that because it's a bad movie that made no money and nobody wants to see it. Even Jared Leto took to...
Now, it made its money back, right?
It did, but it wouldn't have been by much. I can actually look into that.
Yeah. Like you were saying, this was a whirlwind also.
Okay, so it cost between $75 and $83 million and it made $163 million.
Okay.
So probably... Maybe broke even.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, depending on what the back end of what Jared Leto get, what's his deal? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, he was reading a script. I don't know if you saw. He's in on the joke in this terrible movie.
Which means the joke's over.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, he's reading the script for Morbius 2. It's Morbin time.
Mm.
Here's the thing, though. Forbes reported this. The box office return of this. This is the headline.
On reopening weekend. Yeah,
Forbes, this is their headline. Morbius bombs again with $85,000 Friday. Now
I'm going to do some quick mathematics in my head.
Yeah.
So 1,000 screens, $85,000.
Yeah. Well, so for the weekend, it made $280,000.
Okay.
And a bit over 1,000 screens, it made $270 per theater.
Terrific. So that's
which
what?
Is like yeah. how many tickets is that?
So if they put on an additional 5 screenings.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not a lot, is it?
No. So I don't think this would have made. I don't even know if that, would that have been worth it? I can't imagine it would have been. Who was rushing out to be like, yeah, it's back. It's on streaming.
It's on streaming, and
as or you could steal it from the internet.
As we've previously mentioned, it's not the kind of movie that is so bad it's good. The only element of that movie that's so bad it's good is the post-credit sequence, which is bizarre and nonsensical, and I assume that's on YouTube.
Probably.
Or you could probably just put it into Google and you would find a cam version of that or what have you. But it's on streaming. So
that's right.
But here's the question.
Okay.
Can the internet do it again?
Make them do it again.
Do more just relentless memes and make Sony executives think, maybe this is a groundswell. Maybe this is if we just keep this going. Maybe if we widen the release again, maybe if we bring it to 10,000 theaters. Then maybe
an extended cast.
I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once, that had a real groundswell of
and
popular
support. And it still does well week to week, even though it is on streaming. People are going to see that. But no, it seems like that they've killed whatever momentum this had. But what do you do with this kind of press, though? Like nothing, right?
I don't think there's anything. There's nothing else to sell, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go...
You could put him in Fortnite, I guess.
You could put him in Fortnite. You could be like, oh, see the movie everybody's Morbin about on streaming or whatever. And it's, it's already there and people...
They're making fun of you, Sony.
Yeah.
I feel bad. It's like when, you see a kid getting bullied and they don't know whether what's happening.
Mm.
I mean, it's a corporation. It's different, obviously.
Yeah.
But like they're making fun of you. You know that, right?
Yeah.
They're making fun of you.
They're making fun of you. They're making fun of this corporation with the rainbow flag on it. That's obviously doing that for genuine reasons.
They're making fun of you.
They're making fun of you. They need somebody on staff to be like...
They're making fun of you.
But also, if you bring in like a social media intern to be like, hey, everybody, they're making fun... Like they would say, okay, Sony, here's all the Morbius traffic on the internet. And some executive would be like, well, that means we've got to release Morbius. And you can't then be like... Nah, man, you don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
They need to hire someone who is both continuously online, too online all the time, but also is given some sort of carte blanche to be like, I got to break this to you. They're making fun of us, and you cannot do this.
Yeah,
they need a real rogue agent. They need a real
that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. But it could. We'll do it.
I'll do it.
We'll do it.
That's what we do here anyway.
They should listen to us.
Yeah. But I would have said release it, to be fair.
just as a goof.
Yeah, just as a goof.
Yeah.
I mean, to not even make a million.
Yeah.
Like, that's really sad.
true. You know? Yeah.
I mean, and again, like you said, it's boring. It's so boring.
Yeah.
It's a boring movie.
It's not like people would have come out of this movie and gone, oh, my God, I didn't see it in the initial run, but it is so funny. Yeah. You got to see it. People would come out of the theater and people would say, what did you think of this movie? And they'd have to go, ah.
There was a YouTuber called Eddie Burback, and he's got a video. He said, I went to see Morbius 5 days in a row. And it's just him talking about his experience of watching this movie 5 times in a row.
Wow.
And it's just like him going into the theater and he would buy tickets to other movies so to not give it the money and also not be seen to be going to see
Morbius
yeah. 5 times by himself.
You know what, James? I will credit to you, James. Not credit, but something. The more we say Morbius, the less it makes any sense. We've said Morbius so many times at this point.
Yeah, I know,
and,
right?
And I said Morbius just then. I went, do I mean Morpheus though?
Yeah. There we go.
Really good. Very
excited. I'm excited. For, he's going to show up again then, right? Is that what they're going to take from this?
I mean,
we know from seeing, and it's been out for a while now, from seeing what happens in Doctor Strange 2.
Yes.
There's a certain character that appears, I guess I still won't say it, who was in one of the worst things we've ever watched. Mm. But we were like, wow!
Yeah.
You're kidding me?
They did
I love that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the same for this because I hate
But they will inevitably make another Morbius movie, though, right?
You think?
Yeah. What else have they got? This is their primary.
I mean, I thought
character.
They'd fold him into a Sinister Six or something.
Or
kill him?
Yeah,
I don't know. Kill him as a joke? I don't know.
But I think maybe Fortnite, you're right. Imagine him jumping out of the Fortnite plane or whatever it is, and they've got Jared.
The smoke?
They've got the smoke. They've got Jared Leto being like, it's Morbin time.
Yeah.
You know? Bit of fun. I think they might see how El Muerto goes. And Raven the Hunter and Night Watch and Madam Web.
Yep.
I reckon they'll see how maybe like two of those go. And if one of them hits, they'll bring Morbius back.
Well, can't wait.
Night Watch.
Yeah. But even with like, you know, he was the Joker, right?
Oh, yeah.
He came back as the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
There were some people who wanted that.
Yeah.
Nobody actually wants this.
I don't think so, no.
Like unironically.
Yeah.
Except for me. Listen to me, Sony. You can do it again. Listen to us. We're that job that Mason mentioned
earlier.
We want
to be that job. We want to be some sort of untouchable guy we want an unlimited contract, a job for life, being the guy who tells corporations they're stupid, which I guess we have.
Nobody listens
to us.
That is true. But we're not getting money directly from them.
No, that's
true.
We want that aspect as well.
Yeah. Anyways, should we talk about the DC universe?
Yes.
And the reshaping that's happening over there?
Yes.
There's a bit of information here, so I'm going to start with this from The Hollywood Reporter, who says, sources say that they've asked Todd Phillips. So, you know, that Zaslav guy who came in from Discovery and is just like axing a bunch of shit and trying to streamline all the projects.
So Todd Phillips is the Hangover guy, the Joker guy.
Yes. So it said they asked
the other stuff,
Todd Phillips, the mind behind the Joker, to do more in the DC universe.
The Twisted
universe.
Mind, please. Oh, that's his official title.
You're right, yeah.
The Twisted Mind behind the Twisted
Dark
Joker.
Mind. To do more in the DC universe, potentially acting as an advisor, though he will not serve in an executive capacity.
So the reverse of what we want to be.
Yes, that's right.
He'll be an advisor, but nobody's going to listen to him.
Yeah.
His official title is advisor who will be ignored.
Yeah. And an knowledgeable source says Phillips and Zaslav have discovered a rapport, though Phillips is not an expert on the broader DC universe. So, yeah, I think he is looking.
He's reverse Kevin Feige. He knows nothing about.
Yeah. I mean, you'd pick Matt Reeves if you were to pick one of the directors, right?
Yep.
I mean, because the Joker feels it's so contained, whereas Matt Reeves seems to have somewhat of a wider understanding of
DC lore and comic books,
movies. And his movie didn't do as well as
Joker. Well, then in the bin.
Yeah.
In the bin
exactly, but I think it will over time.
Yeah,
the next one will do better again. And I like that movie.
Joker 2 would do as well as Joker 1.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say it, really. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
But I'm not really interested. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's interesting that they... If they pick that guy. Another thing about this is via Puck News. Zaslav could also make another run at Feige, who...
I'm going to get you, Feige.
I'm
coming for you.
Not me, this Puck News says. Talked pretty seriously with Warner Brothers a few years ago when he was angling to escape the oversight of Marvel. Marvel's then...
Ike Perlmutter specifically.
Exactly.
I would imagine, yes.
So this was in the phase two of Marvel where... You know, they were pushing for a bunch of stuff that he wasn't really happy with. He had to go through him to make any decisions, and eventually he circumvented him and stepped and went straight to
gave him the old Feige stab in the back.
That's right. So, yeah, that's interesting that they took a run at him. And I think it would be absolutely worth trying to get Kevin Feige on board the DC universe.
But does he want a second career? Like, does he want to live this all over again for another decade?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what that guy's like. I know nothing about this man. I don't know his heart, James.
Yeah, fair enough.
Maybe he's like, yes, I'm going to do it again. This is going to be great. I'm gonna be the guy who revitalized two comic book universes. But maybe he's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And also, what if it doesn't work?
It's like Peter Jackson and the Hobbit trilogy, you know?
Yeah.
Offered a bunch of money, opportunity to do something that was beloved again. But then again, maybe... You love the – like, he's still pretty young, so, maybe he wants a new thing to do.
Maybe he wants a new thing to do, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. He seems on the pulse, doesn't he? He seems like he's got his ear to the grindstone.
He's got that ear to the – ow! Ooh, ow! Ooh.
Well, I have to leave it here. I have to know what's going on. Ooh.
Ooh. Bad Bunny, you say. Please. Oh, wait, DC.
So the rap also says via an unnamed source. So this is in regards to Superman. It said –
we still don't know what to do with him.
They said they need to get a fucking Superman movie off the ground, and if the plan is a shared universe, a Cavill-led Superman needs to be the focal point. The rappers also said that Zaslav has instructed his team to kill all Superman projects in development and start over with Cavill.
Okay.
So at the moment there's a few, we talked about last week, there might be a Val Zod movie happening.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
Which J.J. Abrams is producing with Ta-Nehisi Coates writing, and there might be another one. There's also Supergirl is in the Flash
movie. That's correct.
And that might be getting a spin-off, but it seems as if
For a while, Supergirl was going to be the main super character in the DC universe.
That was the plan, apparently. And I think she might be Zod's daughter, because apparently Zod's in that movie as well, maybe.
Okay,
I think Michael Shannon actually came back for it, I think. That's what they've been saying. But it's also
just Michael Shannon, like one of his red carpet appearances, he's got the Hawaiian shirt on and the big sunglasses. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't want to be there.
That's my favorite version of Michael Shannon.
Hey, Michael Shannon, could you just say, I've come to destroy the earth again?
What? Yeah, that's fine. That's perfect.
The scene is just, hey, Zod, are you here to destroy the earth? What? No! Hey, a man who's here to destroy the earth says, what? What?
So I also read that apparently Cavill has been going to...
Oh, just before we get into that, I just wanted to point out, I didn't set the scene earlier. You are in your pajamas.
Yeah, I am.
Picture that however you want, listeners.
I'm wearing flannel pants and a long sleeve. Pajama tee. How am I looking?
And one of those big hats that the long sleep cap.
Like an Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, it sort of tips over the side. It's got a
little pom pom on the end.
And
you needed to stop the show.
I did it. And Collings obviously is having to edit out the parts where you fall asleep and you go me 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 me.
I keep going to snuff out my candle, but Mason won't let me.
It's time for news.
So, yeah, they keep going to – apparently Henry Cavill kept going to DC with, different directors and being like, here's a pitch for Superman. And they're
so he's really committed to it.
He wants to do
it.
But he should do it. Yeah. People like him.
Did you see – this is unrelated to that, but it's somewhat related in the sense of directing.
Mm.
Who directed Top Gun Maverick?
Joseph Kaczynski.
Joseph Kaczynski, because apparently he pitched the idea to Tom Cruise of Maverick Pete –
he pitched it on Mission Impossible or something.
Yeah, and Pete's just, he's doing this super fast jet system and then he's called back or whatever and then just in a conversation and then Tom Cruise just picked up his phone and called the movie studio and went, we're doing a Top Gun sequel. Imagine being Joe
Kaczynski
and just...
Yeah, he got 15 minutes on the Mission Impossible set to talk to Tom Cruise.
Imagine that feeling of just Tom Cruise is just going to do a go-ahead and then all the studio's just like, well, I guess we're doing it now.
That's crazy, right?
Right?
Yeah.
He'd be like, I think he'd go out and you'd be like, yes.
I did it. Yes. Do a little jump and you click your heels together, wouldn't you?
Click your heels together, that's right.
Speaking of, did you watch the Pinocchio trailer this week?
No.
There was a Pinocchio trailer this week. Geppetto was played by...
Josh Gad?
No, Tom Hanks.
Oh.
And I think it's...
Oh, he's doing a lot of weird accents this year. Because he's an Elvis. He's an Elvis.
Oh, he is too. Mm. The weird Dutchman or whatever he's playing in it. Where's he from? I can't remember.
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel.
The Colonel.
Also, if you've seen that trailer also.
I have.
I should have looked this up. But it says the title card, it's like Elvis. And then in the middle of the title card, it's like TCB, which or something, which I assume is
what?
Baz Luhrmann's production company or something. But it's weird to put that in the middle of the title card.
It is strange. It's got mostly positive reviews, but there was one in particular which I saw, which was really funny.
Which was basically, it's just a Baz Luhrmann movie.
Yeah,
and
I hated it.
The idea that it's Elvis is largely irrelevant to whatever it is. Yeah.
Where is this? I can't find it.
That's all right, James. Yeah.
I like Baz Luhrmann, but I'm not very interested in this like at all. I'm not an Elvis fan.
I will probably watch it on streaming, but I do believe it does have that similar...
like Moulin Rouge aesthetic.
Well, that, but it also has the walk hard biopic vibe of like they should have killed this concept years ago of just like he has to think about his whole life before he plays.
Don't we all? Yeah. We do that before the show.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know if you do because you're the new Nick Mason, but is that something you do?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah, in my life, yeah.
Terrific. Yeah. But
again, next to no differences. Yeah,
I don't know about like I like. Okay, getting back to Superman, I like the idea of Cavill coming back. But I don't think you necessarily have to kill a bunch of other Superman projects.
No.
There could be two Supermen.
Yeah.
There are two Supermen. There's one on TV.
I'm also fascinated to know which directors he pitched to DC and went, Scorsese? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
No? Oh, just no. Okay, terrific.
Great. Right. Terrific. Fantastic.
Okay. What about the guy that directs all the Underworld movies? What about him? He's here now. I went high, then I went low. What are you going to? We're going to find a sensible center in here somewhere.
I didn't ask his name, but you know him, right? You've seen some of those blue movies, right?
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
War of the Lycans, was that one of them?
Maybe, sure.
Great. Is that the executives?
No, that's the director. That's the director. Oh, it's like, maybe I've called one that. I don't know.
This is by Variety, Mason.
Mm.
Rachel Zegler will play Lucy Gray Bard in The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
What's that? Now, I'm vaguely, is Rachel Zegler, is she in SNL this year?
No, she's in the Spielberg musical.
Oh, the West Side Story.
West Side Story. Yeah. We both put our hands up and did musical hands.
But we did Bollywood musical hands.
I don't know.
We did Screw in the Light Bulb. And,
The other one, yeah. She's also in Shazam. She's one of the Shazam family. I think in the next one she's playing the younger.
Zam fam.
She's playing the younger and older one. She's great. You should follow her on like Instagram. Oh. She's delightful.
Because some of the Zam fam are like tiny little kids and then they turn into adults. But she's the one who's sort of
she's like
Mary Marvel.
60, yeah, one of those. Okay, yeah, right. I think I can't remember.
She's the one that basically doesn't change.
Yeah, but they do change her in the first movie. But in the second one, there she's doing
great. Interesting. Okay, right.
So Francis Lawrence is going to be directing. Oh, this is a Hunger Games prequel. I should clarify.
Okay, right. Where they get all them districts?
Yeah, Francis Lawrence, who directed all the other ones, I think. Mm. Maybe he didn't do the first one. Let me check, Mason.
Okay.
But he's a director, and people know that. No, yeah, he did the second one. He didn't do the first one. So there you go. Here's a synopsis. He's back.
Okay.
Set in the universe of The Hunger Games, the book follows young Coriolanus Snow. Do you remember?
What's his face? I'll get it.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Bollywood hands.
Yeah, okay, great.
Is this helping?
No.
Okay. Who is chosen to mentor a tribe in the upcoming 10th Hunger Games.
Oh. So we're already in the Hunger. This isn't pre-Hunger Games universe.
No, it says 10th Hunger Games.
Sure.
Mason. What are you fucking deaf?
What were they? Yes.
Oh
what,
no.
Wait. No, I'm fine again.
Okay. Good.
What Hunger Games were they up to in the regular Hunger Games?
You're going to ask that, and I don't know. Let me find out.
What are you deaf?
No, Mason.
I mean, that would make no sense.
The 73rd one was where it started. I believe.
73rd.
The movies. Yeah, they're doing it for a generation, mate. Over generation, two generations.
So there's a bunch every year.
And there's one every year, but it's been happening for seven. That's why he's a million years old.
Is that guy a million years old?
In the old Snow guy.
Yeah.
He's really old. Remember, it's Donald Sutherland.
But he'd have to be like.
So in this, he's like 18. The other ones, he's like 70, 80, 90. Yeah, I don't know how old he is.
Right.
Whatever much time that is.
Nice.
Anyway, so. He's choosing as a mentor. He's assigned to District 12, to the District 12 tribute, Lucy Gray Bard, who sparks the Capitol's attention after singing during the reaping.
Ooh.
Sounds very similar to what happened in that other movie.
Sure.
And then subsequent movies.
Yeah.
Remember because she did the salute or whatever?
Yeah, and she did that fire dress.
And
that man painted himself like a rock. Remember that?
Yeah,
because he was good at cakes. Do you remember
cakes
that?
And he painted himself like a rock.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that.
I
like those movies. We should revisit those when this comes out for Caravan and
Garbage. Did we do all of them? Did we?
Yeah, we used to do our annual Hunger Games slash Doctor Who yeah. episodes of the show.
Oh, and I didn't.
No, you've sorry. Yeah. Your twin brother did.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Fantastic stuff. So there you go. Are you excited for another Hunger Games? I'm not, but I'm open to this.
I'll watch it.
I like the people involved in it. So good stuff. There we go. This is by Dexerto, who says, they spoke to Neil Blomkamp about District 10.
Blomzy.
He said, I am still working on it. The answer is it's within the near future.
Whoa, much like the movie.
Yeah, that's great, Mason.
It is great, isn't it?
Brother. I think this...
You don't have to call me that because we have the same name.
Okay.
Yeah, just settle into it. It's fine.
Just settle into it?
Yeah.
Is he now your brother if we ever reference him?
I guess so,
I don't need to...
But I mean, we're so interchangeable that really it doesn't make any
difference. But he's terrible. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah. Although I haven't seen him in a while, so maybe he's, you know...
The same as you.
Maybe he's the same. Maybe, you know, maybe he or I have mellowed.
Okay.
And we're more or less...
Have the same opinions.
Have the same opinions about everything and each other. Yeah.
Great. So District 10, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. 2009, I want to say, was the last
something
one.
Like that. Yeah.
Do you think this would have happened earlier if he hadn't have made movies that people liked less and less as they came out?
Like Chappie?
We talked about this. I didn't mind Chappie. It's not great.
Okay.
But I think because the
Have you revisited it since it came out in the cinema?
I like the, what's that other one that I like?
Elysium.
And he does a lot of great short movies and stuff.
Oates Studios. Are those all still available on the YouTubes?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, people should check those out, I think.
And he was going to do for a time the new RoboCop, and he was also going to do an Alien movie, if you recall correctly.
Yeah.
Which is a crying shame. But yeah, so he also did a movie last year called Demonic.
Don't remember that at all.
Which I did not watch.
Mm.
What's this about?
Yeah, all those just folks, just check out Oates Studios.
The film was shot mid-2020 during the pandemic. Great. Anyway, got 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That is a
shame. But District 9, 10 all the way. Man, God, that's a good movie from memory.
Sure, yeah.
And probably still is, I assume.
What's his face, the guy in it? What's he been doing?
Charlton Copley,
because he was in the A-Team, obviously, yes.
He did the new...
He did that... PlayStation Studio Powers.
Oh yeah, he did
show.
But he was also in. He was in Chappie. He was Chappie in Chappie.
He was Chappie in Chappie. That's true.
Yeah, he was in Monkey Man in this year.
Don't remember that.
The Last Days of American Crime.
Oh yeah.
He was in Gringo. Haven't seen that.
He was in Maleficent.
Was he?
Apparently, he was King Stefan.
There you go. Yeah, no, he's in Old Boy. That's right. He was in Old
Boy. Oh, he was in the remake of Old Boy. Okay,
yeah,
great
stuff. All right, so let's move it along, Mason.
Okay.
Last bit of news.
I have one bit of news. Is your bit of news sad?
No, it's yours.
Well, mine is sad, so maybe we'll get it out of the way.
Great.
Ray Liotta passed away.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't mention it last week.
Yeah.
He died in his sleep. 67? He was 67, but very sad news. He was, of course, Henry Hill in Goodfellas.
Yep.
He was Tommy Vercetti. He was the voice of Tommy Vercetti in Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
That's right. He was Kevin Costner's dad in baseball.
Shoeless Joe.
Yes, that's right.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Was he sick?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
But, just sort of a sudden.
Because he was working, wasn't he? Like,
Yeah.
He was doing a bunch of stuff
still. He was in Many Saints of Newark.
I haven't seen that. Having recently finished that series, I've been meaning to go back and actually watch that. Yeah,
but sad. Also, was in the Muppets movies. At least one of them, I think.
Like the earlier ones or later ones?
No, a more recent one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he was like, there was a quote from him where people asked, what was it like working with Miss Piggy? And he was like, I hated it. But she is the only co-star I've ever slept with.
Classic. So, Ray Liotta.
Funny stuff.
Goodfellas is a good movie. A lot of people don't know that.
But it's in Copland as well.
I have to watch Copland.
Yes.
Why have I not watched Copland yet?
Because there's too many other things to watch.
That's right. I have to watch. Do I have to watch, Mason?
The Many Saints of Newark.
I have to watch Ricky Gervais's new comedy special.
Mm. Oh, that's true. You do have to watch that.
I do not have to watch that.
You should also watch Hubie Halloween because he's in that.
Okay.
Oh, he's in Marriage Story.
He is too. Is he one of the original lawyers that they go to?
Yeah.
Adam Driver goes to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many, many things. And he's in Sin City. The
second one?
Yeah, the second
he's
one.
He's not the first one, is he?
Yeah. He's in Muppets Most Wanted, so there it is.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway, a big loss for the industry. Everybody said he's a real nice guy.
God damn. And well, here's some slightly happier news.
Terrific.
By Den of Geek. They spoke to Rhett Reese, who's one of the writers on Deadpool 3. And he said, it's an absolute thrill to have the band back together, to have a new backdrop in the MCU with new characters, new villains, that kind of thing. Imagine that playground for a Deadpool universe.
That's very
You could
true.
Use anybody. Deadpool could pick up Captain America's shield and then fight someone with a lightsaber.
He could say, F you, Captain America.
Wow.
Get effed, buddy.
Yeah.
You could say that.
Also, the thing I said happened in Free Guy.
Oh, you did too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly right, yes.
But you could do that again.
Yeah, you could do it again. You could say, F you, Spider-Man.
What is this, Free Guy?
Yeah.
Nice. They could say.
Yeah. Oh, the references like that, the snake that's eating its own tail. It's
just,
wow, yeah, yeah.
I love it if it was just constant callbacks to the movie Free Guy. That's the whole, no Marvel, just Free Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the city's collapsing, just like the virtual city collapsed in the movie Free Guy.
Is this guy, Taika Waititi, his character that everybody hated from Free Guy? What are you in this, what are you, hey Korg, what are you doing this for a paycheck like Taika Waititi did in Free Guy?
Terrific stuff. They also, he also said that it looks like it's probably going to be R-rated. He said they've been very supportive with regards to that. Now, when it comes to a particular joke, if we cross a line, maybe we'll hear at some point, maybe not that joke, but I think they've been incredibly supportive of what we're doing.
Whoa.
There you go.
Hey, F you, the Marvel audience.
Yeah.
I'd say.
But not the movie Free Guy.
No.
Terrific stuff. Wow. So, yeah, there you go. It's happening and it will be probably R-rated, but as I've said before, doesn't have to be, I don't think.
You could do whatever you want.
Do whatever. That's not...
It would even be funny if it was G-rated.
I think it could be. I think it would be, could be really funny if it was G-rated.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello Fresh, Mason.
Oh, hello Fresh.
Funny you should say that because Hello Fresh delivers fresh quality produce from the farm to your door in less than a week.
What?
So you can savor summer flavors right from home.
Well, that's a good turn of phrase. Did you come up with that?
Yes.
Nice.
Foolproof step-by-step recipes mean a joyful cooking experience and a stress-free summer. Plus, how about this, Mason? HelloFresh cuts back on the time spent in the kitchen and meals are ready in around 30 minutes. And you might be like, wow, that's impressive. Or less.
What?
Yeah. HelloFresh is also 72% cheaper than dining at a restaurant and even cheaper than grocery shopping.
I was going to say 70% cheaper. That's pretty impressive.
I agree.
72%? That's tipped me over the line.
Insanity. That's money in your back pocket. The source of that is, of course, Zagat Dining Survey, one of your favorite publications. Is that correct?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I'm always zagating. Zagating.
About.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Mason, I can attest to this because recently we tried the Caribbean chicken tacos with slaw and garlic aioli. And you might be like, was that done in 30 minutes or less? Absolutely it was.
Sounds like a lot of steps, but you got there.
It was fast. It was easy. And also it's so step-by-step and easy to use. You know, you can cook with your kids. You'd be like, you teach your kids to cook a little bit. And they're like,
got pictures?
Do I have pictures?
No, the picture's in the instructions.
I bring up a picture. Yes. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, do you want, do I have a picture of the meal? I do.
A picture of the meal.
I mean, I have a picture
here.
No, that's
here. Quite right. No, I can imagine it. The description was so evocative.
Yes, the description also has pictures, Mason.
That's terrific. That's how I learn. Pictures of people yelling at me.
Exactly. So here's the thing. If you go to HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet16 and use code WeeklyPlanet16, as in 16, you can get 16 meals free plus 3 free gifts.
My goodness.
That's HelloFresh.com/WeeklyPlanet16 and use code WeeklyPlanet16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts.
James, I'm going to savor those summer flavors. I'm going to tell everybody that I'm doing that, and I'm going to credit you for that, Sam.
I really appreciate that. Can I also add something to that? This is my own personal thing that I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Is that HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Nice.
Do you mind me just adding that at the end there?
That's a cool – I mean, just keep inventing phrases. Yeah?
That's all the phrases I'm going to invent for today, if you don't mind. My brain is in overdrive.
Yeah.
On with the show?
Yeah, HelloFresh.
Wow. Now, this week we like to talk about, I don't know, something that happened in –
Oh, yeah, nice.
Entertainment media, maybe something we watched.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a topic where we, like, list a bunch of things we remembered.
I'm familiar. I've listened to every episode of this.
Oh, good. Yeah. Wait, you said you hadn't.
Did I?
Oh.
Can't remember. I don't know.
Is this a third person? What's happening?
No, this is the same guy.
Okay.
This is,
yeah. Let's not complicate the lore too much, Mason.
Okay.
No doubt the Weekly Planet Wiki is spiraling hard.
The Wiki Planet? Is that what they call
it? That's probably called. But this week, of course, they released I'd forgotten, and you actually reminded me via a text message.
Did I?
Yes. No, sorry, your brother did.
Bingo.
You don't share a phone or something? I don't know. But anyway.
We could. I guess I could. If that would simplify things. Hey, I'm putting a different SIM card in. All
great.
Right, we're all connected. This
so
is great.
That The Boys, the first three episodes, have been released via Amazon Prime.
Correct.
Where it lampoons big corporations.
Amazon's the bloody biggest corporation there is, probably.
Wow. How do they even get away with it? Amazon don't care. They got infinite money.
No,
they
don't
care.
It's that thing of like... Oh, this has really taken some pot shots at everybody, but like anything they didn't actually want to put in would
oh,
be
oh, definitely.
There,
yeah. If it was, you know, if somebody like vomited it into an Amazon box and then, I don't know.
And then pooped in the Amazon box.
In the Amazon box. Yeah.
And then
the president of Amazon opened it and it exploded on him.
But I think even if the package was showing as it got delivered on time, I don't think they'd care.
Oh, okay.
If somebody pooped in the Amazon box and then vomited in the Amazon box and then sealed up the Amazon box and then went through the warehouse.
Sent it to Jeff Bezos.
And then it arrived on time.
Yeah.
Like they ordered next day delivery and it got their next day delivery and then it exploded in the guy's face. I think Amazon would honestly be fine with that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, we're going to do some non-spoilers and then spoilers, though most of my stuff is spoiler talk.
Sure.
What do you think the story was of this
they're back, baby. All the boys.
Yep.
Butcher is back.
Yep.
Butcher
boy.
Back. Yes.
Huey boy.
Mother's Milk is back.
Mother's Milk Boy.
Yeah. The lady one.
The lady's back, boy.
The female, as they call her. They're all back. Starlight is back.
The French guy's back.
Frenchie is back.
Yeah.
All the heroes, who are the bad guys, really, they're all back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you recall, when we last left the boys, and they'd gone straight. Huey'd gotten a real job.
Yep.
Mother's Milk is off the team. He's quit as well.
That's right. So Carl Urban is trying to keep it real.
He's trying to
be like, I'll do it, but I'll try not to kill as many people as I normally do.
Uh-huh.
How long is that going to last? And then,
it
doesn't really miss a beat in terms of any of it, really.
And if you think, well, maybe there's more eyes on this show now because, you know, generally speaking, the rating, the streaming ratings seem to be good.
Yeah.
There's good word of mouth about this show. Do you think they're going to drop off a little? Is it going to be less gross? Is it going to be less violent? Is anybody going to say F you?
There's just...
Less? The F you Amazon Prime.
One thing that like is
no is the answer there. It's going to be just as rude and crude.
They've never shied away how every person in the show is just a bag of blood.
Sure, yeah,
you know, and it's all, it makes me feel like vulnerable in my real life because that's what we've all got. We're just essentially bags of blood just walking around,
that's
aren't
true,
we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is. It's
if you're thinking there's going to be less work for the guy who CG animates somebody exploding into a big bag of blood.
And then the guy who actually sprays down the blood on the set.
Yeah, yeah. Or the guy that makes somebody's face into their faces come off, half come off face, and
but
their jaws all hanging off,
whatever.
But they're still alive. If you think that guy's going to be out of work, no, he's still in work.
Yeah, he's still having a great time, that particular person. So, so as you mentioned, all the characters have kind of, it's seemingly turned a new leaf trying to move forward after the horrific events of all the other adventures of the boys and in the universe of the boys. It also it's about a year or so later.
Seems that way.
A bit less.
And the system seems to be working. So Huey is working for this government branch, which is trying to, you know, stop various heroes from committing crimes and getting away with them. Like they're supposed to be holding people to account.
And it seems to be like 60% of superhero like casualties are now down from what they're doing,
which is nice.
But they also seem to be tackling mostly minor kind of.
Yeah, it's that law enforcement thing of like, well, you know, we
get the minor mob people,
or exactly
the street level drug dealers, and
yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Or like, there's a trade off of like, okay, well, we won't get this guy for murder, but we'll get three other guys for some little stuff, and that's still something, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's, you know, but of course Butcher wants to be killing them all.
Yeah,
as you might imagine, and
his favorite thing.
Yeah. But of course, and Huey, of course, is working for a particular senator.
Yeah,
who is,
we found out in the previous season,
is also a super and can explode people's faces off. Yes.
Yeah. And what does that mean? Is that a good thing? That's for the show to tell you.
It is, isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
I thought this was great.
And very strong.
It didn't miss. It didn't skip a beat. It's not. It opens like as soon as it starts. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this show.
Yeah. And you know, it is, again, for people who don't recall this, it's produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah.
Who were comedy guys for a really long time, and then they produced Preacher, and then this. And I think they strike a good balance between like. You know, there is that, a lot of people go, oh, you know, South Park. They just take shots at both sides, and it's kind of, I haven't seen that show in years, but I feel like the balance is off and off, and it becomes like a case of like, well, don't care about anything.
Just apathy, yeah.
Yeah, just complete apathy. But I think this season especially is taking some really good shots at both sides, in the sense of like, you know, there is a, we're seeing, you know, Butcher go to a gun convention where.
Yeah.
That particular culture is being lampooned, I think, very well. And there's also, like you said earlier in this episode, there is a scene where we go to a Vortland.
Yeah,
we go to Vortland, which is a, you know, superhero themed Disneyland, and there's a Queen Maeve. What is it? The Castle of Acceptance or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's very corporate pride of like.
And it's interesting because Vortland. And it's not the NRA; it's the Vought Rifle Association, and they also do beauty pageants. Like they do everything.
Yeah.
So they cover all aspects. So if you love guns or if you love pride, those things have to be exclusive necessarily. But you know, they're in every aspect of society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're a gross multinational corporation. Anyway, look, I just want to do spoilers because I don't.
Really, okay, great. Well, anyway, but if you're on the fence, I don't think there's anybody who's seen the first two seasons in their entirety and is like, I'm on the fence about this. I think everybody who's seen the first two is probably excited for season three.
Yeah.
So I'd say, but if you haven't seen any of it, I would say maybe you start at season one. And,
I would say definitely start at season one.
Start at season one, yeah.
So it opens with the fake movie of hashtag release the Vought cut, which is where.
That'll offend anyone.
That's right. Where they had to completely repurpose the most recent, the Seven movie, which is their version of the Justice League, because it turns out one of the members was a Nazi in real life, which we will come back to. So Charlize Theron, there's a few cameos in this. Billy Zane's also in this as himself, Charlize Theron. Presumably he's playing
himself. No,
Billy Zane's
himself.
Not himself. No, but he's playing in a telly movie.
Oh, yes.
I presume that's Billy Zane playing that.
Oh, yes, right.
And I presume this is supposed to be Charlize Theron in the
movie. Seems that way, yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, so she's portraying Stormfront. They've had to do a quick re-edit where instead of Stormfront being on the hero side, they've had to cut around that and make her the villain.
Actually, she is a Nazi, like she was in real life. And it's also mentioned that.
And it really hammers home like the predictable nature of a lot of this stuff where, you know, Stormfront's there and she's like, you will never defeat me alone, but then all the other heroes are like, well, we're not alone. Like some really cliche dialogue that you do see in a lot of these movies.
You certainly do.
Yeah.
It's also mentioned,
which I like in a lot of
Totally, yeah. It's also mentioned that Tony Gilroy actually directed this movie, which is what happened with Rogue One.
So
the director's like, he admits at a moment of weakness that he's a fraud, and Tony Gilroy directed this movie, essentially. But then it like leads into, there's a the tiny little Ant-Man man who's called Termite has a horrendous scene.
Yeah, they decide, the creators of the boys decided to do the what if Ant-Man went up inside Thanos and went big and exploded him.
And we see that in very graphic detail. So there's a moment before he goes inside a person, and I'll leave it up to you to decide where that person might go. But it might not be the most obvious place you'd think. And it's like, it's like a horrible, it reminded me of, you know, when you see a close-up of Ren and Stimpy and you see, like, oh, yeah, they do like a really, like, just a still frame close-up, yeah, of, yeah, like someone's like got a real bugged out eye or,
yeah,
or whatever, and you know, you can see all the horrible detail. It reminded me kind of that.
Sure, yeah.
With, you know, just,
what a fun day on set that must have been.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he's, and then he ends up, they end up capturing him and ODing him in a tiny bag of cocaine and,
yeah,
and whatnot. But it's also interesting that they went, oh, Stormfront is alive, who got Anakin, yeah, Skywalker in the last series.
Uh-huh.
But then very quickly they're like, nah, she killed herself.
Yeah.
So she wasn't even, like, any fight that was left in her. Like, she didn't, like, build up and get revenge and was going to come back, yeah, with robot limbs. She's just like, nah, I'm not. I'm sad and a Nazi. I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
And I died. What I also thought was interesting is because Homelander still visits her, even though he's public, the public story is that he was tricked into, yeah, mm-hmm, into falling in love with her and he didn't know she was a Nazi. And then as soon as he found out, he did the right thing. Mm-hmm. But then he's still visiting her and he still
doesn't love the Nazi stuff.
But no. But what's interesting about that is, though, he likes her because she loves him for who he is.
Yes.
And so that's why he can't kind of let that relationship go, because she sees something in him that others don't. Mm. And even if that is terrible, he'll accept that. He's like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take any kind of acceptance I can get. Yeah. Which is horrendous. Also, superpowers for everybody, Mason.
Yeah.
It seems at this point.
Mm.
So in the comics, we've talked about this before, there's a pill you can take. Makes you superpowered for 24 hours.
And the boy, and it, like in the opening, the boys comic book storyline, all the boys take it. Generally, yeah. Like,
and they're doing some punch ups.
But this has been a kind of very slow build up. And I think that, you know, generally speaking, from a narrative perspective, I think, especially in a TV show, it makes more sense for them to be hopelessly outgunned and out overpowered, yeah, compared to the superheroes. And now the tide is kind of turning, which I think that's more interesting.
But it's also not without, it's like consequences, whereas it's a very unstable thing to inject into yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even after it starts to wear off, it's still kind of, well, because Billy Butcher takes it, it's still kind of bubbling under the surface and makes your blood smell weird, apparently. And,
yeah.
And all sorts of other things. Mm. So what did you think about them? Because we'll talk about Soldier Boy in a bit, but there was an older team.
Which Payback. Like
the yes. original seven. Laurie Holden is Crimson Countess. She's from The Walking Dead.
Ah.
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah, I had to look that one up.
Yeah, when he took the helmet off, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I didn't realize initially who it was.
For people who died from Boondock Saints, yes, obviously.
And young Indiana Jones.
Young Indiana Jones, sure.
Because the voice that he does, he just doesn't – I didn't pick it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So he's – yeah, so he was kind of the Bucky to
– yeah, and he has some sort of – super. I mean, he's gun obsessed and he's some sort of super marksman of some sort.
Yeah.
Although I did. I'm like, would that hollow point bullet ricochet, James? Would it ricochet
off a concrete pillar?
Would it ricochet?
Would it?
I mean, and people, we're going to find out in our new YouTube series. Will it ricochet? We're going to throw all sorts of things at all sorts of things.
All sorts of pillars. Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. And there's some other team members that we also find out about. One's like a bug man or whatever who's eviscerated in the early 80s. What there's twins, Dynamite Twins, are they called or something? Yeah. So we see them in, and of course led by Soldier Boy, and we see them in the field in the 80s because they're thinking, and now they're rethinking the idea of what if we put superheroes into the military, and obviously a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And so we see that actually happening in a battle sequence.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And they're not, and it's the same with like
home. Which of course has been cleaned up in the Vortland canon. Like the general public seems to believe that they were just, you know, incredible and turning the tide of war, you know, every time.
Yeah. But one of the big major parts of this story is that they think that the Russians have some kind of gun that can kill Soldier Boy.
Yes.
And if it can kill Soldier Boy, then it can kill Homelander.
Uh-huh.
But do you think that's what's actually going on here? Because in that battle, Soldier Boy gets captured by the Russians and hasn't been seen since.
Yes.
And again, the story is like that he died in a nuclear reactor saving the world or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's a chance that he defected, that he went with them, like, willingly?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. And I mean,
like, there's no weapon at all?
Do we know if there's going to be a fourth season of this show?
I think there is, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, my guess would be that the weapon that can kill Homelander is a ruse, and the weapon in this instance is probably going to be Soldier Boy, right?
I guess so, yeah. But he's also not a He's like prototype Homelander, like in personality. Yes.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, yeah. He's also the worst.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, my guess would be that the setup here is that the boys are going to find a way to set Soldier Boy up against Homelander and see if they just kill each other.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That would make sense because it seems as if he's going to come back into the real world, and then he's going to rejoin the team. Or
yeah, I mean, because he's. I mean, we have seen in some trailers like there is going to be sort of he's coming out of some sort of
stasis,
cryonic suspension or something like that, or a la Bucky, like as you mentioned.
Yeah. Or Captain America.
Captain America.
Yeah.
What is the status on the Irredeemable series? That's in production, right?
Yeah, and they're doing the two at once because it's Irredeemable and Incorruptible. Mm. And they're two comics that weren't written at the same time, but basically run parallel.
Yes, yes.
Where a bad guy turns into a good guy turns into a bad guy. But they're compressing that into one movie, which I think is probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Unless it's a great idea, in which case I take that back. Anyway, why do you ask?
Oh, just similar themes. And, you know, in that comic book series, Irredeemable, there is a Superman-style character.
Yeah.
And there's, like, various, you know, at one point there's a sort of a quest to find various maybe implements.
Anything that can kill him.
Kill this guy, yeah.
It's the same in Invincible. There is a character, it's called Space Racer or something, who has a gun that can kill anybody.
Yes.
There's also these particular creatures on this planet that can pierce those alien skins. Like they use a virus against them. There's a number of things that they use to try and destroy that army. There's also a superhero contestant program reality TV show in
American Hero,
and
we see Annie or Starlight's ex-boyfriend because they were in they were in like a teen Christian superhero team for a while, and sort of he has reemerged, and of course the one thing that I maybe didn't buy in this series, but it's, you know, I think it's only a minor thing and it doesn't seem to be like a very significant plot point, is that Huey is, because he's hopelessly neurotic, he's living in fear that Supersonic, who's Annie's ex-boyfriend, is just going to...
What is his power?
He's super strong, I think.
And that's it?
And fast? Super durable, I think? Maybe something like that.
Yeah, but, okay.
You know, he's one of... Like most of them, he's no match for Homelander.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he's going to get his head punched off. Almost certainly, or his brain's lasered out or something like that.
Yeah.
But Huey is like, oh my God, what if these two characters reconnect, whatever? And it's like... I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Huey and Starlight have, you know, they've gone through a lot together, and I don't really feel like he'd be like, I'm still so insecure about this.
No, I think you're right, yeah. I think it would be more realistic to go, yeah, this is a guy that you used to date, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, or like there's a, you know, they're obviously doing that thing of like, well, now Huey and Starlight are a public couple.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do that red carpet thing a lot of the time with these kind of characters where they're like, okay, now you get out of the way. We just want photos of Starlight. Yeah. He's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like this.
Yeah, but also, like, why would he like that?
Yeah.
I mean, why would he want to be in any of those photos? He's not that kind of guy. Yeah. I just looked him up. He's got supersonic, superhuman strength, TBA, and supersonic and sonic clap, TBA.
There we go. That's
the
other
thing. I guess, that he can do.
Mm.
But he's seemingly an okay guy. For a superhero?
Yeah.
One of the few, maybe.
Probably not, though.
But probably not, because probably they're all terrible.
Who are we missing out of this? So A-Train is off the
team. A-Train, he's not running anymore all, because his heart will explode, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to, he is sort of cynically wants to do a kind of, he wants to rediscover his roots in a reality TV show. He wants to do some sort of slave trade video game or something.
That's right, yeah.
But again, his heart is obviously not in it. He just wants to be famous again.
Yeah, that's right.
And who are we missing? What happened to Black Noir in the last season?
Well,
did he die? No, he didn't die.
You find out his nut allergy, so I think he's still around.
Yes.
And then we see in this his origin.
Mm.
We see like that because he's in the comics. He's a clone of Homelander.
Correct.
Or Homelander's a clone of him. I can't remember. But in this, he's a guy who got severely disfigured and seemingly got brain damaged. Who they control? Somehow.
Because
he seems to be a very, when we see him in the 80s. He's a reasonable, normal person.
Because he was on Payback. He was on the team that was previously more popular than the
set. Take his mask off because he's a black guy.
Yeah.
And then he gets injured in that battle, and then I guess they just use him as just like a murderer. Just a big, like a snake eye style horrible murderer.
Because he was in, he's in an episode of The Boys Diabolical, the animated.
Oh, he is, isn't he? Which ones? Who does he fight? I can't remember. Or he meets Homelander?
Yes.
They go head to head or something. Because he was the more popular one at one point, wasn't he?
Gosh, Homelander joins. It's only been like a month or so since Diabolical.
Because remember
forgotten.
We see early days Homelander and he joins the team and Black Noir was the more popular, was like the headline.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Character.
Yeah. Or there is a hero and who does it, he botches his first mission and everybody dies, but then Black Noir shows up and he's like, "Yeah."
All right, yeah. And murders everybody also?
Maybe. Sure.
After Homelander murders.
We should look this up, but we're not
going
to.
We should. It's a great show. Also, The Deep returns and rejoins the Seven.
And as you said, he's got a sort of a biopic where he reveals
a midday kind of movie.
Yeah, Lifetime style movie of like, oh, I was in this cult and now I'm out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which perhaps parallels the real world.
Wow, my son.
Many ways.
And he loves seafood.
Yep.
Loves to see seafood.
He's on a seafood diet.
And and then he has to eat a squid or whatever.
Yes.
So it's an awful, awful sequence.
Mm.
But I think it's what, by the time we get to the end of episode 3, we haven't been reintroduced to Soldier Boy. Which presumably is coming in the next episode or maybe the episode after. And the boys are now secretly back together.
Yes.
Huey's figured out that the person he's working for can actually explode heads and is also the adopted daughter of the CEO of Vought.
Yes.
And so basically what Vought are doing are they control every aspect of the narrative, and even the people that are in charge of keeping superheroes in line are just another extension of Vought. So it's all basically...
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
It does make you think, Mason. Mm. It makes you go, my goodness... Mexico, my goodness.
Sure does.
I also appreciated the scene where, so there's a moment where, well, so it's Homelander's birthday.
Yes.
And so he has a little.
Or the day that Vought have decided.
Oh, yeah, it's not
his
actually, but yes, where he's, you know, they have a big kind of.
They have Homelander Day.
They have Homelander Day, and, you know, he gets a show and like a variety hour and whatever, and everybody talks about how great he is. But he also, every year he does a save. On his birthday.
Yeah, like somebody's going to fall off a building or they're going to commit suicide or something like that, and he saves them and there's a big publicity push.
And it's very similar. You know that very popular Superman story about the jumper who he talks down?
Uh-huh.
And it's not, so he says that, you know, she makes him, Superman, promise that if I jump, you know, don't catch me.
Yeah.
So he has to like just use his like, you know, his compassion to have her step back. Whereas this goes like completely the opposite direction where he makes a woman who figures out herself that she doesn't want to commit suicide.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though, in this universe, and I guess there are people that exist in this universe who know this, where if you saw Homelander and just went, yeah, that's a normal guy. Because he's always, like, bugging out and, like, jaw clenched. And,
yeah, right.
You know? But
he's always dead behind the eyes until the camera's on him, and then he's like, hey.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, what kind of comeuppance are we getting this season, if any?
For who?
Homelander. They're not going to kill him for like seasons, right?
I mean, I don't know. And maybe the producers are keeping that deliberately vague because we don't know how many seasons they're going to get. I would personally prefer if we're going to cap it at maybe 4.
Yeah.
And he finally gets a comeuppance. But again, like, you know, maybe this is the big series that is getting people to subscribe to Amazon and they're just going to milk it for all it's worth.
Maybe.
Mothers milk it.
Wow, very good.
If you will.
Yeah, and it's also like, so his backstory, also just quickly, Mother's Milk backstory is that, what's his name? Soldier Boy was involved in, what's the incident where?
I think his family, I think MM's family were killed in there was a car accident.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just collateral damage. Soldier Boy was trying to stop something and then people were killed in the crossfire before anybody cared.
I think it was probably, because he's probably a big racist.
He's probably a big racist so too.
I think it might maybe something, you know, along those lines as well. Because you see the way he talks to, you know, the people around him and women. Yeah. Like he's a dude from the 40s, but not a nice guy from the 40s.
Mm, sure.
Like even a standard guy from the 40s is going to have a different perception of, you know, of race.
True,
than somebody now.
But he's also worse than that.
A level worse than that as well. So, yeah. There you go. Anyways, as you mentioned, and as I may have mentioned, it's a great start. Are they doing just one a week from here on out, I assume?
I think so.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Mason.
What if they did 3 and then 5?
Great.
What a twist.
I would love that.
Mm.
So it was only the first season that they released all at once, isn't it?
Can't remember.
Is that correct?
Couldn't tell you. Yeah. Couldn't tell you for $1 million.
Well, here's $1 million, Mason.
I can't take it. I can't in good conscience take that $1 million. You put it all in front. Oh, he's putting lighter fluid on it. Oh, my God. Oh, he's lighting it on fire.
Okay, so we're going.
It's burning in a real weird way because Australian money's made of plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the smell is very unpleasant.
Like it. Oh, it's gone out.
Is this doing stuff to our brains? No, it's lit up again. It's on fire. It remains on fire. Wow, it's really, boy,
that's terrific stuff.
Maybe that's James. That's maybe going to affect the rest of the episode. We might get funnier or less funny.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we will. It's true.
The next episode is June 10, then it's June 17, June 24, July 1st, July 8th. So there you go. Yeah. And the next episode is called Glorious 5-Year Plan. What does that mean? Don't know. It just says it's the next episode.
Great.
Great. All right. Do you know what it's time for then?
Oh, Glorious 5-Year Plan. It's probably some Soviet thing.
Right.
You know what those Soviets were like.
I've read about them in a newspaper, on a newspaper, Mason.
Yeah, that's right. You're a big newspaper man.
That's right. Should we move to the next segment?
Yes.
Do you know what it's time for?
It's time for what we're reading.
Yeah.
What we're going to read.
Correct. I'm doing a thing. Westworld. Mason, what have you been doing?
Well, you mentioned this in previous weeks.
What?
But I watched it. I caught up on it.
What?
And it's delightful. Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Oh, yeah. Yes. How many are you in?
Two? All of them.
Three, four, five?
There's like four or five, I think.
I think I watched three, maybe.
Yeah.
It does feel very old Trek, doesn't it?
It does feel old school Trek, doesn't it? It's been a bit of fun. So it's for people who maybe didn't listen to the episode where you talked about it.
Maybe.
It's the previous crew of the Enterprise before Captain Kirk and his all his minions got their grubby little mitts on it.
So yes.
But it's got Anson Mount, as we mentioned, and got great hair on that guy.
How's he doing it?
Incredible hair.
What's
it's
his secret?
Very tall, but it's not comically tall.
It's great.
I think on a lot of people.
I think it's because he's got a low hairline, so he can go tall.
He can go tall, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You go big.
You go very big. But that's,
and he's also got like the sideburns. It's a very
everybody's
kind of,
got weird. They're called they're often called Federation standard sideburns. Yeah. They've got a cutoff point. But Spock's are insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's do you know who he is?
Gregory Peck's grandson.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. But you were going to say a different thing.
No, that was it.
Okay, right. Because Spock.
He looks like him.
He does look like, because Spock is played by, is it Ethan Peck?
Yes.
And he played Spock in Discovery.
And he had a beard.
And they spun it off. And then I'm watching this and I'm like, this guy, what else? Because he's also got a tone of voice that I'm like, what's this guy's deal?
Yeah.
And I looked up, what else has he been in? And it's Discovery and some other things. And
That's right.
And I'm like, well, I haven't seen him in anything besides those. So what is it? And they're like, okay, it's Gregory.
By pure chance, a couple of weeks ago, rewatched The Guns of Navarone, which is a Peter Sellers, Gregory Peck.
Oh, yes.
Like 1940s. What was made in 1961, but it's set during World War II. I love those 1960s World War II movies. There's a bunch of crap ones, but there's a bunch.
Because you're
a
dad, that's why.
Because I'm a dad now, and that's what I've always liked them, even since I was a little lad. There's also actually The Guns of Navarone has a sequel called Force 10 from Navarone,
okay,
which was made in like the late 70s, and it has Harrison Ford in it. You ever seen that?
No, but I remember the
it's
name.
Like the same characters and whatever. Anyway, sorry, Star Trek. Go on.
It's all I got. It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
It is a bit of fun.
It's kind of that.
Do you think this is the Trek that a lot of people maybe have been looking for?
Yes, it is. I think there's definitely. I think they're because of course the Pike crew debuted in Discovery because Discovery is set at roughly the same time.
Or was. Now it's in the future.
Now it's in the future. Yeah, and I think definitely there is a certain amount of course correction in the sense of like a lot of people don't like Discovery because it's not it's not depicting the utopian future that Star Trek.
Mm.
You know, especially,
and it's not like
original
week to week
adventures. and a lot of like original series Star Trek and Next Gen is like it's a utopian future, and Discovery is really
it's a dystopian future except there's a bunch of mad starship captains running.
That's
about.
True, yeah. But I think I like them both, so I don't, you know.
Yeah, well, to be fair though, I did stop watching Discovery, and I did not particularly enjoy either season of Picard.
I did
watch them. And you can't really argue with that.
So what is it that you like about Strange New World? That is,
I like the week-to-week quandaries.
Yes.
They even reintroduced some older characters like the Gorn.
Yeah.
And I've never seen you don't actually see them, but you've never seen the Gorn they're horrible.
Yes, that's true. So
all I remember is like Kirk fighting one of them.
Yeah, so in the original series of Star Trek, the Gorn are kind of this lizard race of aliens, and you see Captain Kirk fight one in the original series. Mm. And he does the big punch, their big
foam
lizard creature. Now, I believe they make a brief appearance in Enterprise, you know, the Scott Bakula one, and they're mostly CG and they look very bad.
That's not a surprise. But, it was the early
2000s. I think they're setting up in this season the Gorn like a major antagonist because every Star Trek season has to have a main alien antagonist race, and they're sort of there.
I like that there's a through line, but it's not necessarily...
Yes, and the through line is, and I think you mentioned it in previous times, so in the original series of Star Trek, we see Captain Pike, he's a man in a sort of iron lung, and he's been horribly mutilated, and he's, you know, he was in a terrible starship accident. And
it's coming.
Yeah, and he knows that this version of this version of Pike, and I guess by extension the one in the original series, he knows, he's seen a vision of that future and he knows. So in a way, you know, he knows exactly when he's going to die. But in a way, quite freeing, I would imagine, because he can do anything, really.
And he's got 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, do you think that when they eventually hit that, if they do, they're going to dodge it somehow, like a Doctor Who when he was in a robot body himself? Or like maybe one gets caught in a teleporter and he...
And there's a clone or something. Maybe. I mean, honestly, I don't think this will last 10 years. Just not because it's bad.
I mean, it could jump, though, you know? Shit, we went through a warp thing and now it's... It's 2 weeks away. I don't know.
I think people would be mad there's yet another timeline splintering from the original series. But I don't think it's not going to go 10 years because it's bad. I think it's good. It's just that streaming series go for 10 years anymore. So, you know.
Then it gets Paramount Plus and who knows what they're doing.
Who knows what they're...
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
I watched Jackass 4.5 on Netflix.
Okay, great.
Which is like the offcuts and kind of making of the new movie.
How'd that go?
It's fine, you know. It's all the things that... It's all the
I'm sure Johnny Knoxville, who spent decades just destroying his body, will appreciate
you
going,
"This is fine." I don't like
those
movies, but, you know, it's not the main movie.
It's not the main movie.
Kind of
true,
like, this is it's like a really long DVD extra.
Yeah, sure.
But I've also been playing Sniper Elite 5, which I mentioned last week, the latest Sniper Elite, which I always enjoy those games. But I got like a fair...
Playing it with your son?
Yes.
I made that joke last week.
No, your brother did. But that's probably why you forgot. Was it? So they're pretty big open world maps. And I think they're slightly bigger than before when they might even be too big. But on the first mission, like the main guy you were supposed to assassinate, he didn't appear for me for whatever reason.
Right.
So I'm just kind of running around the map looking for this guy. And I looked it up online and there's a bunch of people that are just like, yeah, that guy didn't appear. So then I had to restart the entire map.
Right.
So I'm currently going through that again. But that being said, it's all very fun and silly and gory and... Just you know, and you can kind of you work around the kind of limitations of the stealth and how you're perceived by bad guys and how you can, you know what I mean? How you like you work out how much they can see you.
Yeah. And you can be like, I feel seen.
I feel seen. And now
press
I'm not
F
seen.
To feel seen.
No, I'm not seen. I'm hiding behind this tree. Mm. So yeah, there you go. Anything else that you've been shipping away at?
I'm thinking about buying a game on the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, great.
It's a point and click adventure game. It's called Chinatown Detective Agency. It's like a future detective game. It is apparently reminiscent of Carmen Sandiego.
Okay.
You go around the world and you solve mysteries and there's a little bit of resource management.
It's got a 6 out of 10 on Steam, Mason.
That seems low, but I've seen a lot of people saying it's very good. So listeners out there, if you've played it, let me know.
PC Gamer gave it 75%.
Let me know if you think it's good, James.
I think it's bad.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
That's okay. That's honest, at least.
Point and click. I haven't point and clicked in a long time, Mason.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, listeners out there, if you've played it, let me know if it's any good. Right. Email in, send it in the
Metacritic
email.
Is 67%.
Oh, well,
GameSpot gave it a 7.
I shouldn't have brought this up at all. I should have just bought it.
Now you're going to...
Now I'm going to question it. I'm going to be like...
No, I get it. If it's something you're interested in, you should get it.
Thank you, James.
You will.
I am going to, yeah.
What's the next segment of the show then?
The next segment of the show is actually the letters segment where people email in letters. They write a letter and they take a photo of it and then they... add it as an attachment. That's what everybody's been doing.
Yeah.
If you've emailed in some text and you haven't got it read out on the podcast, it's because now you know the secret is you write a letter and you take a photo of it and you add it as an attachment. You send it to us.
Now, can they type a letter, print it off, take a photo, send it in?
Yes, I think they can do that.
Great.
They can also type one on an actual typewriter.
Yep.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can also do voicemails. That's one's real though.
That is what
people can
real,
send as long as they're brief.
Sure,
give us no 5-minute voicemail, all right?
Yeah. Right. Anyway, there's a theme song attached
absolutely is.
To the letters segment. So
I wish you'd play it.
I'm going to play it.
The classic one was
letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
We're gonna hear right now, we're gonna do letters.
Wow, and hello. It's the letter segment, as Mason mentioned. You can send a letter to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or get us on a tweet. Hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter. Ooh. Now, Mason.
Go on.
You say to me all the time, I've got a letter for this show.
I do.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Let's go then.
All right. I mean, I don't say it.
No.
Yeah.
But it has
I will.
Been,
this week
it
I
has
will.
Been said.
It's certainly been said. By a man named Nick Mason, who's almost identical
but,
to me.
But different.
Okay, this is an email from Heated Pines.
Wow.
Subject line, Stranger Things. Hi, James and Meso. Potential hot scoop or shot of poop. Family member works for Netflix and said the reason Stranger Things is had to be split into two parts isn't to do with Netflix reassessing their release scheduling following the subscriber losses, but it's because the special effects weren't finished in time.
Okay, that would make sense.
In fact, the special effects are still being done now for the episodes releasing in July. For some of the episodes already released on Netflix.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
So in a similar way to how WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier changed VFX after the premieres, Stranger Things are having to do the same.
I haven't noticed any, like, that. People haven't picked up on them.
Yeah, right.
They haven't been appearing online. It's a pretty good looking show, though.
I haven't watched it yet. That's also on my list.
It's good, you should watch it. I also think it is Netflix's strategy, like, is also to split things up to keep subscribers for longer.
Yeah, right,
I'd say it's probably two-pronged.
But
that doesn't surprise me that this is on this
a dual
is
prong.
Not finished. Also, because they're super long episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
And the last two are going to be like movie length episodes or something. Yeah.
But as always, as is the rules, as I understand them, if once we've determined if this is true, if it is not true, you're going to have to.
I think that was you haven't been here for this, but it was actually Nick Mason who would do the shot of poop.
I've listened to every episode, James. It's not true. Everyone knows. It's you.
Damn it.
And I don't make the rules. They just exist.
They just exist.
Yeah.
I've got a tweet here.
Go on.
From Elena who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, do you think Morbius would have been successful with a different actor who's less problematic and a different director? Probably. If it was a better movie with a better person in it. I would say so. I mean, a chance that it could have been.
I'm going to say no. I don't think I don't think it
would have been a huge hit regardless.
Right.
But what do you think?
I think that, again, from what we've heard about this movie, all bad. I don't reckon the studio would have allowed it to be any better than it is.
Yeah, but if it was though.
Oh, if it was better, sure. Then word of mouth would have gone around.
Yeah.
And that, yes, but I think this was a movie that started out fairly generic and then the studio interference chopped it down to
even more so
even,
somehow.
Even more generic. And would a better director have been allowed to make a...
Would a better director even want to direct this?
Yeah, I think if a better director came in, they'd be like, I've got so many ideas. And the studio would have said, no, it's about a weak guy and he becomes strong. He gets the powers and then there's a generic guy.
He gets the Morbius powers.
He gets the Morbius powers and then the easiest thing to do is have him fight a guy with similar powers to him and that's it. And we've got to put in, we've got to put in product placement. We've got to put in a tease for the next thing and that's what you're doing. And I think most people would have said, they would have said, okay, well, I'll either take the movie or I won't do it.
Yeah,
I'll take on the movie to make money, or I just simply will not do this.
Okay, I understand all of that, but
go on.
If it was better,
it would have been.
But again, like I don't think it would have been.
It would have been Morbin time, but unironically,
it would have done like slightly better. But I don't think it would have been a big hit by any stretch.
Yeah.
Maybe if they put in a Harry Styles, people would have liked it more.
Sure,
yeah, and he fought another member of One Direction.
Oh, Zayn,
Niall,
they're different guys.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought.
Or he fights somebody famous from K-pop.
Yeah. One of the BTS boys.
That would have been the big movie.
That would have been built-in success, but.
I agree.
There you go. Here's one more email from Donald.
But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
I guess is the answer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hello, my dudes, he says.
Hello.
Interceptor, directed by Matthew Reilly, is now available on Netflix. My verdict, best movie ever. It's exactly what you would expect of a Matthew Reilly movie. Lots of action and huge stakes.
What was that one again?
It's the one with Elsa Pataky.
Oh, Chris
Hemsworth's wife.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know. Because she's in the Fast and Furious.
She's
in some of the Fast and Furious
she
movies.
She and Vin Diesel had a child together. They named after Paul Walker, who's still alive in those movies.
Correct. Yes, they called him still alive
Ryan.
Brian.
Brian of Ryan. Yeah, you're right.
Still Alive Ryan. Oh, wait, I mean Brian. That's on his birth certificate.
So this is directed by Matthew Riley.
So Matthew Riley, all I am aware of him as is...
He did Hover Car Racer, didn't he?
He writes a lot of books that I would refer to as airport books.
Yeah.
They're kind of...
And he's Aussie.
He's Australian, and they do very well, apparently, but they're sort of... He's got one called Area 7, which makes me think of the Australian ska band as Area 7.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're sort of... I don't know. I've never read one, but and they're all seemingly quite different. Some are sci-fi and some are actioners, but they've never quite appealed to me. They seem to be like, I don't know, they've always struck me as kind of trend hopping.
Okay, like whatever's happening.
You remember when hover cars were
huge? That was 2004. What was happening? Pod racing? Is that what
maybe,
he saw?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
But all right, I didn't know he was
also
a movie director.
It got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes,
okay,
which is
mm-hmm.
good for Netflix. That's a really good result.
But it's interesting because I didn't know Elsa Pataky was married to Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
I'd seen many mentions of Chris Hemsworth and his wife, but I assumed that Chris Hemsworth's wife was just a female version of him. Just like very tall and blonde.
And muscular.
And like his kids were probably just that also with like long blonde hair.
Well, that is true also.
That is true also, yes. Yeah.
But she's short and blonde.
Sometimes yes,
they're not dissimilar.
But I had seen the trailer
from what you were thinking.
I had seen the Well, I mean, she's certainly very like fit.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
But so like, I had seen the trailer for Interceptor, and the trailer dropped I think at the same week as Thor Ragnarok, which I think is probably not a coincidence.
No doubt.
But it looks like one of those 80s actioners, where, like a Steven Seagal Under Siege kind
absolutely,
of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I like Elsa Pataky, but I don't know if I will watch this.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like, you know, awful bad guy dialogue of like, it's a terrorist crew and they capture some sort of missile launch facility and only Elsa is the only person who can stop them, whatever. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of dialogue in the trailer that's like, well, if you don't give us this ransom, you can kiss the Eastern Seaboard bye-bye. You know, one of those.
Nice.
That awful, awful dialogue.
Big
you know,
fan.
That I hate so much.
I'm a big fan.
Maybe I'll watch 5 minutes of this and see if it's any good.
Okay.
But I mean, Donald seems to think it's good, so.
Yeah, it seems completely fine, as he mentioned.
And if this does well, there'll be more Matthew Riley content.
Yes, probably. Well, Hover Car Racer has been
Hover Car Racer,
for a long.
Seven Greatest Warriors is a thing, which, again, intriguing.
I agree.
What's going on there? Probably great. Lots of great warriors.
Man, I'm loving.
I'm going to Google it real quick, and then we're gonna do a plot summary.
Let's go.
Okay. Seven greatest wonders of the world.
What are the seven greatest wonders of the world? Can you Google that just quickly?
The Weekly Planet podcast.
Yep.
Seven of our best episodes, which honestly weren't even that good. But I guess
no, they're mostly interchangeable, aren't they?
Sorry, it's the five greatest warriors.
Okay.
Five greatest warriors. Five Greatest Warriors is a thriller novel in the Jack West Jr. series by Matthew Riley.
My goodness.
Indiana, the third in an Indiana Jones-style action series. Oh, okay, right. Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Are you excited for that?
No.
Oh.
No.
Should we, should I read out another tweet?
Yes.
It's from T-Ball Bell.
Wait. There's a tab here in the Wikipedia. It says, for Five Greatest Warriors, and it says, situation at the end of the Six Sacred Stones.
Okay.
The situation at the end of the Six Sacred Stones. Would you like to know about the situation? Aren't you intrigued?
Why are there so many numbers in this?
I don't know.
What are the stones?
The Six Sacred Stones began the story of Jack West Jr.'s quest to rebuild the mythical machine before there's an uninterrupted line between...
What is it, though?
Earth. There's an uninterrupted line, but we'll get to it, between Earth and a zero-point field, the Dark Star, which will wipe out all life on Earth. In order to complete the machine, West had to locate six oblong diamonds known as the Pillars and place them in six underground vertices at their allotted times. Two pillars had to be placed in December 2007, the remaining four in March 2008, immediately before the arrival of the Dark Sun. However, due to the knowledge of the machine having been lost over the millennia, West first had to locate the six sacred stones, which give him the information about the machine he needs. By the end of the book, two pillars had been placed, and the various sacred stones had passed between many groups. Isn't that exciting?
I completely tuned out.
I mean,
out.
It just keeps going. There's so many paragraphs, which is, you know.
I'm a big fan, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your updates.
Should I read a paragraph of that every week?
No, you cannot replace your one bit of news with whatever this is.
This would be an addition. This would be here.
No, that's worse. I don't want an additional thing.
Oh, okay.
We do enough things.
We do a lot of things. That's true.
The show is just, it's so complicated.
They're
now.
They're called the seven greatest things.
There's theme songs and I got to say a thing and it's in segments and we record it in pieces in case it doesn't record.
And one of us got replaced by
one of us got replaced.
Guy, which doesn't, again, it doesn't matter because we are completely identical in every way, but it's just a one more thing to think about, isn't it? It's one more thing to think about.
Every now and then we just got to do the hard reset, you know?
Sometimes I'll go to say me, but I have to be like the other guy.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
It's from T-Bell who says, idea for an episode. With the multiverse being hot right now, what random film or TV shows or characters could merge? For example, Eleven from Stranger Things could be a missing member of the Umbrella Academy. As they all named numbers, great show, boys. Oh, wouldn't mind doing a what's some things that could cross over episode?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, we
could. I couldn't do it now. I couldn't think.
No, because our brains have.
I thought I would think of something after I copied this in, but I did not think of a single thing.
Yeah, right.
What about a?
I'm excited for the new Umbrella Academy.
Yeah,
that's
soon, exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What about Stranger Things
and Normal Things
and
YouTube channel Normal
Regular
Things.
Life.
About Stranger Things and Regular Life.
Yeah.
Terrific. That would be very strange.
Or somewhere in the middle of two things, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
Do you think they're going to do a modern day Stranger Things at some point?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but yes, it won't stop. I mean, it will stop and then another thing will happen.
Here's the thing though.
Yeah.
Like if they did it, there's two options, I guess. We get the Stranger Things kids and put them in the modern day and we don't think about why they look quite similar to how they did in the 80s.
Okay.
Or
you wait that.
Yeah, or you get new actors, but nobody would want that.
No, I don't want
that. People want the Stranger Things kids, obviously the actors. So what you do is you wait decades and then you get them all back and you have them do the thing. But also, is Netflix still going to exist
in like some 20 years? I mean, even if it doesn't, that property,
someone will have it, I guess. That's true.
Yeah. And that's what's important.
That is what's important. Somebody owns the property. Yes. Very true.
Any other letters, Mason?
That's all the letters.
Wow. Then I think it's time to wrap up this show.
It certainly is.
Did you have a good show on your first show?
I did have a good show, I think. I think it went roughly as well as all the other shows have gone.
Terrific stuff, Mason.
Folks, thank you.
I love that I'm slowly edging out regular Nick Mason on how many shows that I have done compared to him.
Oh, that's an interesting wrinkle there, isn't it?
I should have waited two shows.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think regular Nick Mason or, in fact, this Nick Mason cares, really.
Okay,
it's just
terrific.
A bit we did. But that's a good bit of lore. It's interesting you've got that lore in your head. Now you have to keep counting how many episodes. Or you could abandon it, James. It's up to you.
I could abandon it.
You
could
abandon the whole thing.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast on your podcatcher of choice. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that's how we get new listeners.
It's
thank
true.
You for leaving a 5-star review on whatever service allows you to leave said review. James, do you have
you can do it in app.
Yeah.
Just like Movie Listener 45 said and given us 5 stars and says, two great Australian men. I love the show and listen very frequently. They are very – do you need to say very frequently?
Yes.
What am I criticizing this review? it's a nice – they are very funny and nice and have good movie opinions. I just could not for the life of me tell you which one is Nick and which one is Meso. But either way, I like them. Thank you so much. And this is from Rona who says, 5 stars, my second favorite podcast. You guys are my second favorite podcast after Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
What?
That's yours a good podcast. Is first in my queue to listen to.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice. 5 stars for making me laugh all the way all the time, and the content is very interesting to me. Love my superheroes. Keep up the wit and heart. Sincerely, Rona. Thank you so much for the beautiful reviews that we receive. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Folks, thank you so much for listening. I've said that before, but I'll say it again. I love saying it. But also, if you're wanting to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, weeklyplanetpod@facebook, @Twitter, @Bandcamp. You can follow our friend Rob Collins, who edits this podcast and does all the socials and all sorts of extra stuff.
My goodness.
And also, you can follow Rob Collins @RawCollins on Twitter. You can follow him @TheWeeklyPlanet on Twitter. He also has a YouTube channel.
Yes, he does.
Which has some fun animations. He does all sorts of stuff.
That's right.
People should check those out. You can also follow me on Twitter @WikipediaBrown and on Instagram @NickMaso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies on all the platforms.
I certainly am.
You can also go to the Weekly Planet Discord and subreddit. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can have all sorts of fun chats about podcasts and pop culture. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chuck in a buck or any amount you wouldn't miss. You can also go to bigsandwich.co for $9 per month, bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, all kinds of stuff.
My goodness.
We've got t-shirts on tpublic.com. You just search for The Weekly Planet. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
What is
next
on
week?
Big Sandwich this week?
Great question.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Next week is Jurassic World.
It is Jurassic World. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I had another opportunity to go to a screener. There was a screener Monday morning. Ooh. They're like, do you want to go to a screener?
Sounds early.
And I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that I couldn't go.
Uh-huh, go on.
But I'm not going to go. Okay. Yeah.
You could dress in one of those like big T-Rex costumes.
No, this is the screener where, like, this is the even lesser fuss screeners. You get there and there's like no one on the door.
Nice. You can just walk in if you know where it is.
Is this a cinema? And they're like, I don't know, I guess. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And also, of course, we're doing The Lost World this week on Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
This week we're doing, for a big sandwich, the time capsule is for the year 1965.
What magic, what pop culture magic and mysteries emerged from 1965.
Probably the Beatles something.
Probably the Beatles something. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening.
We will see you next week. Grabbed our gym, you guys. Also, I've been blonde the whole time.
Yes, that's true.
Blonde hair, blonde eyebrows, blonde beard.
Yep.
It's a twist here.
It's very upsetting.
It's unsettling, isn't it?
Yeah, right? I don't like it. Are you going to dye that back or is this your look now?
No, I'll dye it back.
Okay, great. Yeah. Back?
Black.
So it's not going back, but you're going to dye it to your brother's regular
color. I didn't
color.
Think this through. Like, are we identical and I've dyed my hair blonde?
Yeah.
Or am I just blonde?
That's what I'm asking.
We'll figure it out. We'll do it next week. Oh, we'll never mention this again.
Yeah.
How about this, James?
Yep.
Let's never mention this again.
I'm happy to do that. Okay. Just another bit of lore we can put in the bin. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.